And as I said, there's no further qualification other than our willingness. Now, this is so important because you don't have to have passed particular exams, you don't have to have any particular capability or skill or mindset. You don't have to be totally sane in the sense that we're all made differently. There's nowt as queer as folk, as they say. All. That's for Louise. That comes from Yorkshire, I dare say. So they're nowt as queer as folk. But we're all welcomed into this relationship with the Father. And the joy, the deep joy of the Lord Jesus flows through our lives, dealing with whatever we encounter in our life's experience. There is no anxiety, there is no problem, there is no grief, there is no pain that this deep, deep joy of Jesus holding our hands, of us abiding in him and he in us, there is no thing that is as deep as the deep, deep joy that comes from that relationship. So there's a new relationship, a new intimacy that comes into existence as we place our life in his hands. There is an expansion of human possibility. Thanks to the union of God and man in the person of Christ, humans can now share in the life and fruitfulness of God. They can do this in a way that goes beyond natural, human, earthly life and fruitfulness. This restores the Garden of Eden, if you like, however you imagine that, as pictorial, as parable, as plain truth. This brings us back to God's plan for mankind. And I've talked about the key verse, if we move to the next slide. I've explained that we are invited to live in him. The first call in any branch is just to remain in the vine. The word occurs 10 times in these verses. The alternative to remaining is being cut off, to dry up, to be collected and thrown onto the fire and burned. This is not what Jesus wants for us. But we have choices to make, and our choices have consequences. As so often in the parables and in the Gospels generally, there is a threat of ultimate destruction on those who will not take up the grace offered to them. The proper place for the branch is in the vine, or, failing that, on the vine, on the fire. That's what St. Augustine said going back to the 6th century. There's no middle ground. Now that seems a hard truth, doesn't it? A very hard truth. Jesus says, whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. But apart from him, we can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. So this remaining means obeying Christ's word or commandments. And that in turn ensures effective prayer to asking God for his will to be done. That's what we say in the Lord's Prayer. If Christ's word moves our heart, our words will move the Father's heart. So if you go to the next verse, what I'm saying is that the words of Jesus here are true inspiration. They're the source of life to last a lifetime. It's one of the I am sayings of Jesus. You know, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. The inspiration endures if you will allow it to. A lifetime of blessing and a support indeed which transcends death, because we are made for eternity with God, not just for this life, but for all time and eternity. I'd like to share with you something that C.S. Lewis says. The slide is a bit dense, so I'm going to read the words. Don't worry that you probably can't read them unless you've got rather better eyesight than me. But I want to draw this to your attention because it's so important. C.S. Lewis was writing in his book, Mere Christianity. And he says this, I'm trying to here prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, Jesus. That's this. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing which we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about this being a great human teacher. He has not left that option open to us. He did not intend to. Now that for me is the most crystal clear statement of what I'm trying to say. And the invitation so lovingly given is come, abide with me. Come, live in me, and let me live in you. Let's just think more widely for a moment. Who would you say, in your mind's eye, would be the greatest Christians of the lifetime you've known? Let's say of the 20th century. We've probably all lived more in the 20th century so far than the 21st. I'd just like to rattle off a few for you. You may have your own list, which will be different to mine, that's fine. But these are people who, for me, have captured something of the essence of living with this intimacy with Christ, and it's overflowed from their lives to change so very much. I start off with Martin Luther King. I read his book in my 20s or 30s, Strength to Love. His sermons from the race troubles in America, his letter from Birmingham, Alabama, jail. And it was from the Lord Jesus that he drew the strength for passive resistance to authority. Martin Luther King, as you know, after such a hard and self-giving life, met an early end. Do you think of that wonderful spine-tingling speech he gave from the Washington steps of the Lincoln Memorial? I have a dream. And he was expressing the truth, the very life-transforming truth of the Lord Jesus that he was living out as he thought of the parable of the vine, I suggest. Think of Mother Teresa with her ministries of mercy. I think of C.S. Lewis. I read all of his Chronicles of Narnia. I read so much, and it has helped develop my thinking about how we should live Christian life. I commend it to you. I think of Pope John 23rd because I grew up as a youngster, as a Catholic, went to a Catholic school and so on. And so I lived out, if you like, the life-transforming joy that his pontificate, to use the posh word, brought to the Catholic Church. And it's flowed ever since that. It's ebbed and flowed, but it continues to flow. And all of us then will think of others that are important to us. Billy Graham, if you attended any of his evangelization crusades in the 60s. I think of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was a Christian, and that was the fundamental of his strength to stand against Brezhnev and the communism of that time. Who are yours? Who are yours? Have a think. But the point that I'm trying to make is that all of these people abided in the vine, and it was the life-giving newness of perspective, the deep, deep joy that they experienced that transcended the pain and the difficulties of life, that gave them the strength to do what they did. And so it is for us. In what shall we find a lifetime's inspiration? Where will you draw it from today and in coming days? I invite you to draw it from this parable of the vine and the other I am sayings of Jesus. But this has been, more than anything else, the word of Jesus from which Liz and I have drawn inspiration through the years. I thank God for it. I bless him, and I bless you, and that you may find it to be awesome. Amen.